to A Wee Blether About, a podcast from the academic skills team at UWS. My name is Linda Riches and I'm one of the academic skills advisors at the university. So today we were thinking about those academic skills that we talk to students about regularly and thinking about, you know, sometimes students think, why am I learning this stuff? Why do I need to know about how to present or how to reflect or how to research? So we thought it might be quite a good topic to have a chat about. So I've got my colleagues Carly here. Hi, Carly.
Hi, Linda.
And Mary. Hi, Mary.
Hiya.
And we thought, although we have our own thoughts, it would be a good idea to bring in someone who really knows what she's talking about. So we've got Lindsay McDonald here, who is one of the careers advisors. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi, Linda. Hi, everyone.
So really good of Lindsay to come along today and just help us to sort of discuss this. So, as I said, there are sort of lots of different skills that are useful in the workplace that actually we, you know, help you with when you're at university. And it's just thinking about those transferable skills. So we'll maybe start off by thinking about something that occupies the mind of a lot of students, which is research, and thinking, why do I need to do lots of research? Why do I need to be looking at journal articles? This is only going to be useful for assignments. Why is there anything in that that's a transferable skill? So I thought I'd bring in Mary, because I know Mary's done quite a lot of research in her time. What do you think, Mary? Do you think that is a skill that is transferable, and what can students get out of that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I hear what you're saying. Students kind of think, oh, this isn't the part that I came to uni for. You know, I came to do a practical thing, or I just don't want to be doing this bit. Part of it is thinking about the structure of university, that if you want to go further and further, you need to have that research there to ground you if you want to become an expert. But even if you're not, you need to be able to find information yourself, because once you're not in education, you're not given information in that kind of structured way. So you need to be able to go and find the answers. So being confident and not thinking that, you know, you need to wait for somebody to tell you information, and actually being able to take a stand and just be independent in searching out information is key for, I would say, absolutely any career, job, even just being, you know, an independent person and being able to find out information yourself.
Yeah, and just and being curious as well about information and the latest research and that kind of thing. Yeah, any thoughts on that, Carly, in terms of, you know, I guess there's lots of students who go in, I'm thinking of the health students really, and actually knowing that information will help them in their job role.
Yeah, absolutely. We have lots of students in nursing, midwifery, and I mean, no matter what you're studying, of course, research is important. But when you think about fields like that, they have lots of different specific practices, procedures, rules, and those are really constantly updated. So you have to continue to be informed. And if you don't know something, you certainly have to look it up, and they have their own kind of databases and things that they'll need to learn how to navigate and know where to go to get that information on the spot, but also, you know, and independent time as well. So I think learning how to navigate those databases and staying up to date, keeping your skills up to date, your knowledge up to date, especially in those areas, is really, really essential. So doing that for an essay can be a really good starting point to get into good practice with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And is that something, I see you nodding there, Lindsay, is that something, Lindsay, that you find employers want to know, that students are able to research, that they're able to find information for reports and presentations, that kind of thing?
I think it is a very key skill. Certainly, if we don't have evidence-based practice in our work, and that includes even my job as a careers advisor, I've always got to research things, keep up to date, know how to find information that can help inform my job, but also inform students. So I think employers do expect or want to see students and graduates that have research skills, so that they can actually take problems in the workplace, go and find out information. I know I'm thinking, you mentioned nursing, but certainly even the science subjects, sport as well, sports coaches, I've got to do evidence-based practice. So it will inform you through your academic studies, but it will also inform you in the workplace as well, and to be the best employee and also practitioner. I think you need to have good research skills because we need to know things. We need to find out things. And as Mary said, as a person as well as a professional, we need to be able to find those resources to make sure we're doing our jobs correctly. So it's an essential skill. You shouldn't underestimate it.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. That's what I was just thinking there, that probably a lot of students think research, you know, how does that, you know, how is that relevant? But yeah, you've made some good points there. I suppose a more obvious one that students might think, well, I kind of know why I'm doing this, is presenting. So, you know, having to present, you know, and more assignments these days, we're seeing more sort of oral presentations, recorded presentations, in-person presentations. I had one the other day that actually asked people to produce a podcast, believe it or not. So lots of different ways of presenting. I guess that's a more obvious one, would you say, Carly, that, you know, people can maybe see the connection between that and how that would be useful for work?
Yeah, I think we think about sometimes formal work presentations and how that might come up, or maybe you're even asked to do a presentation for an interview stage at some point. That's really common. So it is really good to get in this exposure, I guess, to the different types of presentations that you mentioned, because there's certainly lots of oral presentations which can help you just with public speaking. And I think we think of presentations as this formal experience where, oh, you have to give a presentation next Friday on this topic or to this company. Mm. But it could be a really informal way of just presenting yourself, presenting your ideas. If you have a team meeting, maybe you need to present progress on something. It doesn't mean that you have slides in front of you necessarily every single time. It could just be, let me just present what I know on this to inform you. So getting used to providing that information is really good in any type of presentation assessment.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that something, Mary, that you think you've got better at over time? I know for me, I'm just thinking about when Carly said about, you know, putting across points in meetings and that kind of thing. I can remember being really, really nervous about doing that. I could feel my heart thumping, thinking, oh, I don't know if I can speak up. I don't know if I can say this clearly enough. Is that something that people can learn over time, that you get better at?
Oh, absolutely. I think so. And from, you know, a wide range. I mean, I can go way back and I remember being in primary school and having to do a presentation, and I was unable to do it, and the teacher had to read out my kind of lecture about my summer holiday or something. And now, you know, I can go to conferences and I can lead online classes and things like that. So you can do it. But I think part of it is also realizing how much you benefit from somebody else presenting well, and realizing how much it improves effective communication and just, you know, co-working and things like that. We've all been in kind of bad presentations, if I can say that. It's just a bit frustrating. And just realizing that it's really just about working more effectively and working together better. So if we can practice those, you know, as Carly kind of said, with essays and research skills now, you'll kind of get over that hurdle and get over that anxiety. And then when you're in the workplace, you'll be able to do that more effectively.
Yeah. How do you feel about presenting, Lindsay? Is that something that took a while for you? Is it something that still makes you nervous, or are you quite relaxed about that now?
I've never been relaxed about doing a presentation, even after all these years. But I think that's a good thing as well. You don't want to be too relaxed, because then you might miss the point of your presentation. You might take for granted that your audience know things and they don't, so you're not covering the key things you want to do. I do get a wee bit nervous about presentations, but I like to prepare in advance, make sure I've got the information correct in my slides, and trying to keep it as interactive as possible. But it does get improved. I say I've improved over time. And I think that's what we need to tell students and graduates. When you go into the workplace, no one's a finished product. Everyone's always learning new techniques and new skills from other people and the team. So you're always looking at good practice. We talked about evidence-based practice, but we're always picking up good tips and advice from people. And I think that's where you, when you're in a meeting, as Carly said, another way to present yourself is watch how other people engage and take notes. And I say that if I've got to go and prevent some key points, I'm going to make sure I take my notes and write my notepad down. That's what I do, and make sure I can get engage with everyone. So I do think it's just about practice, but also observing others as well is always a good way to improve your skills, particularly around presenting.
That's a really good point. I can sort of think back to, good and bad examples. I remember one lovely, lovely guy, and he did quite a good presentation. But when I went into the room, it was I saw the bit with the number of slides, and it was slide 1 of 99, and I thought, oh, that put me off straight away. I was like, 99 slides, and he did 99 slides. So yeah, it's taking those bits of, you know, people doing things well that kind of inspire you, think, well, that's a good idea, or things you think, no, maybe don't want to do it that way. And like you said, Lindsay, learning that you don't go into the workplace as that finished product, you know, and we're all still learning as well. Yeah, definitely. I guess another area to think about as well is, I suppose, the whole area around critical analysis is sort of the thing that a lot of students that we see in academic schools really struggle with, the sort of being critical. And maybe tied in with that, just the whole idea of, you know, being critical, but also maybe having some reflection skills as well. Any thoughts, Mary, around those kind of skills and what we're talking about to students in academic skills and how that's going to help in the workplace?
Yeah, I mean, I know that all the advisors will agree that being critical is one of the questions that we get a lot, right? What does it mean? How do I do it? And it feels like it's this academic secret, but it's not. And something that I say a lot is what universities want is for you to be an independent learner and for you not to have lecturers and markers all the time, for you to be able to go and find stuff out for yourself. And again, that kind of relates to what we're talking about, research, doesn't it? But being critical essentially is making up your own mind about things based on evidence. So you need that research. You need to be able to present yourself well. But it's not just journal articles and papers that we have to be critical about. I mean, we have kind of a problem with unreliable news sources and things like that in our world, and we need to be able to navigate those well and be able to ask those questions, and those definitely bleed into the workplace, definitely bleed into where we're getting our opinions and things like that. So I think people just don't realize how much it's going to help you become more confident in your view of the world, and that will, as I said, bleed into the workplace, bleed into probably just relationships and conversations. And I think it really goes hand in hand with reflecting, because reflecting is about, why do I think that? Why did I act that way? And how could I have made it better? And if we're doing that research and critical thinking, those all really, really go together. But it's not as scary, I think, as people think it is.
Yeah, it's the word critical, I think, that puts people off, you know, straight away. Carly, what are your kind of thoughts around that? Maybe around as well reflecting. I was thinking that that's can be quite useful when you're in the workplace, when you're then thinking about getting additional qualifications and sort of memberships of official bodies. They often ask you to reflect on your role and reflect on how you work and who you work with and that kind of thing.
Yeah, for anything that's, you know, continued professional development, whether that's a really formal qualification or something that you're going for, or even if it's just a moment where you feel like you want to kind of take stock of how far you've come or how much you've learned after, you know, a big year or a big project or something that you worked on, critical reflection could be really, really good. I think that it can help you to articulate what you've learned. It could help you to figure out also where you want to go from there. There's always points in all of our careers where you think, you know, is there something else that I want to learn? Is there something else that if I want to go in a specific direction that I need to, a skill that I need to maybe fine tune? And a lot of these opportunities for development, again, yeah, we'll ask you to reflect on a time when you know, maybe you're writing an application or you're doing some sort of course or something, you'll have to think about your practice. So I think when we have these assessments at university, people don't realize how applicable they really are, because we all probably will encounter some form of development like that where you are forced to reflect. So being used to the principles of reflection, the common models that we see, you know, Gibbs and Driscoll, we see those a lot in university, but those principles are carried out throughout reflection, even if it's not the specific structures and, you know, steps that we see. And I always say that critical reflection is so, so important, even before those development moments, when you're maybe interviewing, because they get those, you get those questions of tell me about a time when, and they're not asking you to just say, oh yeah, I did that at my last job, or I did that at university. They want you to tell a story. And that's what critical reflection asks you to do, but you have to be critical of your actions and your reactions and what you would maybe do differently next time, and kind of have that humility in it as well. So that's helpful for any type of professional development, but I think in those interview questions, even at earlier stages of jobs as well.
Yeah, I guess you hear about all those kind of questions, Lindsay, that employers will ask, and you have students say, oh, I'd hate that question, reflect on a time. What do you sort of advise students to think about, to sort of relate what they did at university and think about it for the job interview?
Yeah, I mean, it's you're absolutely right. And Carly and Mary as well are the key points. I mean, self-reflection is good for your future career, but it's also very much part of the actual recruitment process as well. You do your CV, you write your application form, you go to an interview. The employer will expect to see examples of communication skills, researching skills, or management, time management skills. You can't just say, I've got these. You've got to provide the examples and the evidence. So if we can get into good practice of reflecting regularly on what we've achieved, what we've done in our course, skills we've developed in our course, maybe getting examples of our activities and assessments, thinking about our part-time jobs, and starting to regularly take time out of our busy schedule to think, what did I learn this term? Or what have I done in the last 6 months? That will certainly build up an evidence bank of skills, knowledge and experience that we can then transfer into an interview or working in an interview or an application form. And I think that's the thing that we don't do. And I include myself in that. I've got a bit better in thinking and reflecting back. I think my contribution, our annual review process at UWS helps that, because we have to look at what we've done, achieved over the year, to set ourselves new goals. And as Carly said, looking at career development opportunities, skills we want to improve upon. So I think if we can encourage students to do that now by themselves, have a skills logbook, but a Word document, or just write, I've got communication skills, like let's write down two examples of communication skills that I could use at an interview. If we can do that regularly, we've got this, and it's good practice to take into the workplace should we decide to apply for professional development or professional membership later on. So yeah, it's just about getting into the mindset of doing these things on a regular basis.
Yeah. And we often just, sometimes we don't even think that these are skills. We maybe just take them for granted. I think another area that maybe the final point that we maybe want to touch on is the age-old one of time management and sort of, you know, meeting deadlines. And, you know, I know that's something that causes a lot of stress for students when they're at university, and why do I need to have this deadline, and why does this report need to be a certain length? And I always say to students, because that's part of what you're being, you know, assessed on. You know, it's not a kind of unlimited hand it in whenever you feel like it, you know, and it's a set time and a set sort of schedule for a reason. Be interested to know from the rest of you, in terms of time management, is that a skill that you've had to learn over time? I know for me, I used to be the habitual late person, and I think I've gone the opposite way now. I can't seem to do anything on time. I'm always too early. Any thoughts on that? I'll start with you, Lindsay, actually, on that one. What are your thoughts on time management?
Yeah, I'm laughing because I'm much better at time management than I used to be when I was a student. Last minute, middle of the night, still typing away on my essays. I got better as I progressed through my studies. I have to say, when I did masters, I got a bit better on the time management. But the time management that you, the good practice that you'll pick up over your studies, particularly as you go into later years of your course with your dissertation and a lot more project work and maybe master's level study, that certainly will help when you transfer into the workplace, because we're all working to deadlines in some sort. They're not physical, hand in your assessment, get a mark at work type situations, but there will still be times where you've got projects to do. Deadlines might change last minute. Manager comes down, tells you want something different. Goals change quite quickly in the workplace, but you will have that to draw upon because you've experienced those ups and downs doing your dissertation or coursework through your course. So I do think time management is something that we have to actively work at, but it does get better. And I said that earlier about using how other people manage their time, any tips and advice they can offer. I've done that. I've noticed how other people manage and how they work, and I've picked up good practice over the years that's helped me. Not all of it worked well, but certainly over time, I certainly got better at planning my time. And I don't leave things to the last minute now. I'm much more organised than I used to be.
I'm really surprised, Lindsay. I thought you would have been absolutely, because you're always, she's always really good for the time management. You're always spot on.
No.
What about you, Mary? What would you say around time management in terms of, you know, students and mastering that now and how that will help in the future?
Mm. I think what Lindsay said is absolutely right, that it's slightly different when you're working from university, isn't it? I think it depends on your life and what else you've got going on, but deadlines at university tend to be a bit more predictable, or you get them a bit more in advance. It's very important to be able to manage them because of your degree and your grades and things like that. When you're working, the thing that I find hard is that things crop up that you hadn't planned for. I feel like I'm quite good at time management in that when I was a student, everything got done on time. But does that really mean I'm good at it? Or I don't know that I'm that self-conscious about using my time effectively, or using the time that I'm not busy to prepare for the time that I will be busy. And I think that that's something that you really have to work on when you are in the workplace, and you might have that kind of highs and lows and busy times, and you really need to plan ahead in a way that I think we tell students a lot at the start of term, that it's quiet now, put a good plan in place or do some things that will help you later on. So even though there's that kind of difference in maybe last minute things coming up or deadlines changing, that same principle of, okay, what can I do while I have the time so that later something comes up, I'm better prepared, because you honestly can't predict day to day or if you need to cover for someone or anything like that. I also think it's different. You're not getting graded, as Lindsay said, but you let other people down at work if you don't do things on time. And that's not great, and that impacts your working relationships and things like that as well. So even though you might think it's less pressure, it does really matter quite a lot.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point there, actually. Yeah, about, you know, the impact it can have, and it can really affect the sort of team dynamic as well if you're the person that's always late or doesn't do things, and then that becomes the expected thing, or they'll not get that done on time. Yeah, I've been in teams like
that. None of us are like that,
no. Not this team, I hasten to add. But I've been in teams like that where then you sort of know who the people are that are not going to meet that deadline, and it's really frustrating. Yeah. Do we practice what we preach, Carly? Are you good at time management?
I would agree that I have improved, but it's a thing that's kind of difficult to self-assess, as Mary was saying. And I feel like as you were just talking about, you know, the potential of letting other people down, we're getting dangerously close to talking about group work, which some people dread for that reason. I think in the university setting, it could be one of your first times that you're exposed to working with people that you've never worked with before. You don't know their maybe styles or approaches or how well they manage time. So there's lots of responsibility on yourself and on others that's shared. So that's a really good learning experience, if nothing else, for time management. But yeah, I mean, I think I've improved a bit. I used to be the type of person that would be, I would tell myself, oh, I'm very organized. And people go, wow, Carly's very organized. But what I would really do behind the scenes was make a list to manage my time or a schedule. And then I wouldn't like the way that that would look, so I'd rewrite it differently or put it on the computer instead of handwritten. And then suddenly you're wasting a third of your time organizing, I'm using air quotes here, when that would be better spent actually completing the task. So, you know, I've certainly fallen into that a few times, but I think that time management is such a personal process. It's something that we have to learn through trial and error, I always say as well. Lindsay had a really good point of looking at what other people are doing. You kind of pick things up along the way, but sometimes you try something that a friend or a colleague recommended, and then you go, whoa, that's really not for me. So you have to have an element of self-awareness and, dare I say, reflection when you're thinking about time management. But you know, it's just a really good time to learn it as at university. And while things can crop up, as Mary said, there also can just be other changes rather than small things that crop up. Like maybe you do start part-time work and then suddenly you feel like you've really managed your time well and now you have this big responsibility, or maybe you do have to take on a care responsibility and that's something that you hadn't really considered before in your time. So I think it's something that we have to constantly adapt. So I continue to adapt it as well, I hope, and I certainly try.
But, yeah, so do I, definitely. My favorite thing to do is what Mary was talking earlier about, you know, trying to use that time. I always have that thing of, you know, what your future self will thank you for. So in the sort of, you know, downtime, trying to get something prepared and then maybe a month or so later saying, no, I've got to do that task, and then going and finding I've done most of it. And you're like, yay, you just feel so much better.
That is the best feeling.
You're like, oh great, you know, actually I had some common sense a month ago and I thought to do this. So God, loads of things to think about there. I think we could have talked forever. Actually, when you start to think about all the skills that we talk to students about, and also careers talk to students about, there's so many things that are transferable. We couldn't have Lindsay on without a little plug for the careers team. So do feel free to mention your lovely podcast. And also you've got the UWS award running at the minute. Do you want to tell students just a little bit about that? Because that might be something where they can use some transferable skills.
Thanks, Linda. Yeah, no, they certainly can. We do also do our Careers Cafe podcasts, which students can find on Spotify and also on our YouTube channel. Covering guest speakers, previous alumni, talking about industries. So it's a bit like this, just a conversation, but it's quite good if you're not sure about where you can go with your career. But if you want to explore skills in a bit more detail, certainly on the careers website, we have a whole section dedicated to skills, understanding your skills, what your strengths are. We have activities that you can complete to give you a skills review. So you can look at your skills that you have, but also skills that you need to develop, as Carly and Amari mentioned as well, things that we can improve upon. So have a look at the website for that. And as Linda said, we do also have the UWS Award, which is really about that reflection and that space that we talked about to think about what I've done in my life. And that includes voluntary work, hobbies, interests, and your studies. What have I gained from it and how it will help me in the future? So there's the UWS award is open to any student, undergrad and master's level. You can complete it at your own pace. And there's 6 or 7 activities that you can work through, including writing a CV and preparing, carrying out an interview. But before that, you've got that chance to reflect on your skills, your strengths and your experiences and how that's shaped where you are now and where you can go in the future. So it's worthwhile having a look at that on our website for anyone that wants to take it further.
Great. Thanks a lot, Lindsay. I think loads of things to think about there, and definitely well worth exploring the podcast and the UWS award as well. So thank you all. I think that was a really interesting discussion. It's quite thought provoking. It's got me thinking about lots of things. So good to see you. Thanks, Carly. Thanks, Mary. Thanks, Lindsay, for coming along. And as always, we're always looking for feedback on the podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, if you want us to do something else, if there's a topic you want us to discuss, just drop an email to skills@uws.ac.uk. Thanks for listening.